I want you to open your Bibles tonight to the book of 1 John, chapter number 3. 1 John, chapter 3. I'm going to read just a few verses and then take a few minutes to take these verses apart with the help of the Lord tonight, realizing that we're kind of kicking off this month of missions and to help encourage us in this very important business of getting the gospel out around the world. I'm reading from 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 16. It says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him." Father, thank you for these verses tonight and the others we're going to look at. We pray that you would have your will and way in this time this evening, especially work in each of our hearts. Father, as we consider this such an important subject of world missions and remind ourselves as your people what a great responsibility it is to get the gospel out around the world. Thankful, Lord, as we even enter into this, that we have a church here that gives so much to different areas of our world to get the gospel out, and even the offering taken to purchase more of the CDs. I've handed those out myself over in that part of the world, and what a blessing it is for people to receive sometimes the only light and the very first knowledge of the Word of God. Lord, help us to remember that there's always something more we can do, and bless our time this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. First, as we look here in verse number 16, we read about the love of God. And it's a great reminder to me, and I'm sure to all of us, of what our Savior has done for us. In the Gospel of John and chapter 10, we read, "Therefore doth my Father love me," Jesus said, "because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me," but notice these words, "but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." And again in chapter 15 of the Gospel of John, he said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And so the very first thing we can do is say amen, praise the Lord that God loved us so much that he would give his Son, that his Son would lay down his life for us. And what a blessing it is to just really meditate on that wonderful truth. We ought to do that every single day. We ought to be meditating over and over again on this great fact of God's love for us. But secondly, I think that we need to realize that in verse number 16, we're immediately accosted by this imperative. It says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his lives for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." The word "ought" indicates an obligation or a duty or certainly advisability or prudence on our part. And so, actually, I was looking this word up. I wondered, how strong is that word, "we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren"? How imperative is it that we do what this Scripture is saying? So, based on this wonderful fact of that we've already seen of Jesus laying down his life for us, we're called to reciprocate in kind. Now, I know that for many Christians, any kind of sacrifice is viewed as optional at the most. But I believe that the Scripture here bears out the fact that this is an obligation that we have. This is a duty that we have. But what does it mean to lay down our life? I was looking it up in Cambridge Dictionary, and it said to die for something you believe in strongly. I thought, wow, that's pretty clear, but I wanted to make sure that that's what the Scripture was saying. Are we all supposed to go and die in like manner as what Jesus did? And certainly the answer to that is no. It does not mean that we all need to die. But I do believe that it's a very strong call to all of us to check our priorities and to see if there's evidence of selflessness on our part. And it's certainly a call to no less than that. In other verses of Scripture, when Jesus was speaking to His disciples, He talked about losing our life or giving our life or giving so that we might prove our love and share in the love that He has given to us and do our part as disciples. And so then thirdly, verse 17 brings another element into these verses. It says, "Whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" So in other words, he starts out by saying, because of God's love, Jesus laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And the least that we can do is make a check on our priorities and see if we are what our calling is in regards to laying down our lives. And what does this mean? And I think that verse 17 gives a commentary of that by saying something about our laying down our lives, something about having this world goods. I think verse 17 calls for us to do a heart check. The word there in verse 17 where it says, "shutteth up his bowels of compassion," we don't really use that word in our modern vernacular in that way anymore, but it simply means our heart. So it says, "Whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shuts his heart of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" So it's a definite indication, according to the Scripture, that if we can see the needs of others, if we can see people who have desperate needs or who have needs, and we don't open our heart to them, and we don't give of that which we have, then we're called into question at the end of verse 17. How dwelleth the love of God in him? And then fourthly, verse 18, our love is to be more than just words. You know, it's easy for us to give a God bless you. It's easy for us. I tell our folks all the time that the simplest thing in the world is to say, "I'm a Christian." The simplest thing in the world is to say, "I love God." But look at verse 18. It says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth." So our love has to be more than just our word. I love you, brother. I love missions. I love to see people come to Christ. I love those people who have needs. It needs to be more than words and not just something we say with our mouth, but it involves action on our part. You see that? But indeed, and it involves something that's verifiable, deed and truth. So basically, I think this is a biblical call to all of us to ask this question of ourselves. What will you lay down? Simple question. But I believe that in the context of this passage of Scripture, that's the question that's being asked. What will you lay down in regards to missions? As we consider this call this month, it might be helpful if we're reminded of a few important facts. First of all, basic mission facts. We know that there are 7 billion people nearly in our world today, right now. And we know from research that has been done that about 2.8 billion of those are not quite half, but 2.8 billion of those people are unreached by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Or they're living in areas where there is no close proximity to a church or to a missionary or to someone who is bringing the gospel to them. Just basic mission facts. And the bottom line is this. We are not, as believers, we are not reaching our world. There's so much more that we still have to do. There are areas of our world that are far from the opportunity of hearing the gospel. There are places where sin is very rampant. All we have to do is turn on the news and see that evil is abounding and that unbelief is abounding and that false religion is abounding. And so we're not reaching our world. We could, I believe, I honestly believe that we could be reaching our world, but we are not. Second, now, most of you know that Francis and I have an orphanage in just outside of Port-au-Prince, Haiti. Some of the people from here in Beacon have been there to that orphanage, some on several occasions, some of the young people. And some of them have also been down to our, and that's called Good Shepherd Orphanage, and some of them have also been down to our High Road Ministry, our mission there in Guatemala. And those who've been with us and those who've seen anything about our ministry know we care about kids. I think there's a reason that we do. Now, we care about everybody. We care about the souls of the adults, the most elderly. But we also care about kids, and kids are so needy. And, of course, you know that, especially in Haiti, it is the poorest country in this hemisphere. But did you know that there are 153 million orphans or children at risk around the world? I mean, it's almost hard to believe, but 153 million orphans around the world. Now, we're not taking care of very many of them. We've got 15 in our orphanage. In fact, tomorrow, God willing, I sent the money for it today by MoneyGram, but tomorrow they're renting a big truck to move all the belongings from the old rented place we had in Duvivier to the new home in Santos. And so, God willing, I'll get a phone call tomorrow. I wished I could be there, but I'll get a phone call tomorrow from them saying we've gotten all the children moved over here. By the way, if you want to find out any more information about Good Shepherd Orphanage, I put a few of these papers on the back table there, and you can find out a little bit more about it. I meant to bring some of our books about John Woodley Orphan, but I walked out of the house without them. But we care about children, and we ought to care about them. In fact, look at the scripture again. It says, "Whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" 153 million orphans around the world. 1.2 billion people who live in extreme poverty. Now, these are just some basic mission facts that I think are good for us to know. Do you realize that I was telling our class this morning, all of them that were there this morning come from Guatemala, which is also a very poor country. But I said, do you know that 1.2 billion people live on less than $1.25 a day? I said, do you think you could live on that? And you couldn't. If you had to go buy a hamburger or something, it'd cost you that much. but people living in extreme poverty. 2.6 million children die each year as a result of hunger-related issues or causes. And much, much more could be said. But even saying no more, I believe every Christian must decide what they will lay down. I believe that biblically we are called to decide what will we lay down. I said one time preaching here that we are, everyone in church who's a true believer is either a goer, a sender, or a sinner. And I believe that's true. I still believe that's true. Some of us go, some sin, and some who do nothing, I believe they're sinning. But here the Scripture teaches us you must lay down, or you must give your life, or you must give of your world's good. I don't believe there's any question about what the Scripture teaches there. We must either give our life, lay down our life, or we must lay down our world's good to help those who are in need. Now, saying that, I want to be sure to include something else in our thoughts tonight, and I'm reading from 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9, where the Scripture says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him." What a great verse of Scripture that is, to know that the eyes of the Lord are looking throughout the whole earth, and His purpose for looking is to show Himself strong in behalf of those who are wholehearted, in behalf of those who are laying it down for Him. I want to say tonight that God is not needy. That verse of Scripture, if no other verse, proves that. When we talk about missions, we're not talking about missions. And when we talk about giving, we're not talking about giving because God is needy. God is not needy. God, however, we read in this passage of Scripture, is not passive. He's not just sitting back and saying, "Let's see what's happened." The Bible says that His eyes are running to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong to those who have a perfect heart before Him. Another thing we know is God is not limited. He is able to see the world's good that we have, that you and I have. And He's able to see the person who lives in the most severe poverty also. This morning I was watching the news for a few moments, and they had a special on about the lost boys of Sudan. And this new movie that was coming out, they had a couple of the people who started, the young lady, as I was watching it, the young lady was, they were flashing some pictures up there of the refugee camps. And she said, "I was born in a camp like that, and I grew up in a camp like that." And I thought, what tremendous poverty that is. They were talking about how they were so many orphans there because in the tribal wars they would come through and in the conflicts, and they would kill family after family and all the parents until the children were just herded like cattle to try to escape. And as I looked at those pictures, I couldn't help but my heart be breaking because of the tremendous need that I could see and that she expressed that she grew up in. But even greater poverty than that is spiritual poverty, where they do not hear or have not heard the message of the Savior, of a Savior. I mean, it's wonderful to be able to give clean water. It's wonderful to be able to give food. It's wonderful to be able to give medical assistance. And we try to do all of those things. It's wonderful to be able to care and put a child in a bed and under a roof and give them meals every day and clothes and send them to school. It's wonderful to be able to do that. But if we don't give them the gospel of Jesus Christ, we haven't accomplished anything. God's not needy, He's not passive, He's not limited. He is present and powerful, I believe, for obedient, wholehearted believers. When we do what the Scripture says, if we have this world's good and we open our heart of compassion and prove the love of God is dwelling in us, not just by what we say, but by deed and truth, then we can make a difference. And He does call on us to get involved. I think that opposite of Christians, Satan's children are marked by their indifference toward the needs of others. I received an email this week, and someone was saying, have you ever noticed that so many of these countries where Islamic Sharia law rules, and so many of these countries where there's false religion, they're the poorest countries in the world. Where there's no Christianity, they're the poorest countries in the world. And it's because when Satan has control, the people are indifferent to the needs. The leaders are indifferent. So many times I get disgusted at what goes on over in Haiti and what goes on down in Guatemala when I travel there, and what's happening in Cuba continually because of the corruption, because of bad leadership, because of bad religion. And But I have to remember, it's because Satan is in control in those places. And the indifference of all of those leaders that causes their corruption and causes them to have no care at all for the population is markedly different than those who have the opportunity to have Christian influence. So we see in our text once again this evening that self-sacrificing love is a requirement. Self-sacrificing love is a requirement. And practical love finds a motivation in helping others. Paul wrote to Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 13 and verse 16 wrote, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. And of course, the great verses in James chapter 2, where this half-brother of Jesus by inspiration writes, what doth it profit, James 2:14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it, or that faith that they say they have, what does that faith profit them? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. For these reasons, we are called upon to be involved in self-sacrificing love when it comes to our responsibility and missions. Where is this kind of love? This laying down. This giving cannot be found. If this giving cannot be found, it's questionable if the person is one of the Lord's children. So my question I end with tonight, what will you lay down? Jesus laid down His life. We ought to lay down our lives. We ought to lay down our goods. We ought to open our hearts of compassion. What will you lay down? It's a question for all of us as Christians. And the Scripture is clear that God, who is the searcher of hearts, knows exactly whether we should lay down our lives and be a goer, or lay down our goods and be a sender. And God help us to do what we ought to do.
Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for, just as it happened in Sunday school, reminding us of how vast and great the need and how vast and great your work in the world already is. And I just thank you, Father, for the Maggards and for their years of service both here and everywhere that you've led Brother Ron to serve. And I pray, God, that you'll help us to continue to be a blessing to him and the ministry there. But more than that, dear God, that you will anoint him afresh and anew each and every time. Give him the vision. Continue to, Lord, and strengthen him, the great task. And help us, Father, to recognize that there are those in our midst, everywhere we turn, that are Spanish-speaking in this area, that we can speak to, that we can hand them a track and invite them to this local Bible-believing church as well, and to hear the gospel and to grow. And I pray, God, that you'll bless your ministries to that end, Lord. Thank you for tonight. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And amen. Glad you're saved. Amen. Greet our visitors.